Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391.
Holy Word, we wish to read the Ten Commandments as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly. and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mother and grandmother of the Janssen family who is very low in the Netherlands. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are privileged to gather together again in this new day. A new Sabbath day, a new week, a new month, wherein thou dost spare each and every one of us, and wherein we can feel something of the quick passing away of our time. A new year so recently entered into, and so quickly our time goes onward. That it flies away from us, and time like an ever-rolling stream, and that is bearing all its sons away. And thou knowest how that we live as in a dream, that we do not understand and we do not meditate upon the reality of our life. And what shall it be for us to awake from our dream? Then there is a people that shall awake with thee. And then it shall be for them an everlasting reality, that they may be ever with thee. And there shall be those who will awake from that dream to that great reality of the evil and the consequences of our sin. Lord, who can grant unto himself eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand? But come not we together in thy house for this purpose, that thou may work in the heart of each and every one of us, and that thou from thy own side would awaken us, while that we are still in a time, in a day of grace. We can only expect it from thee. We can only beseech it of thee. O Lord, wilt thou draw nigh unto us in this thy holy day, wherein thy word, when thou wilt give it, is still to go forth among us. In thy institutions, in the way of thy long suffering, though that we have resisted and though that we have rebelled against thee in everything, oh, that thou may remember us in this day, that thou would take reasons out of thyself to look upon young and old in mercy, for thou knowest each and every one as we have heard it read out of thy holy word, and that thou knowest all the secret places and the night that shines as the day, The darkness and the light, they are both alike to Thee. So that there is no place that we can hide from Thee. And there is also no place where Thou canst not see and hear us when we are in need. That there may be such a need also in this morning hour. And then we have been maybe before we have come to Thy house for a few moments in our secret chamber, unseen by the eye of man, but a cry that has come up unto Thee. O Lord, that Thou may hear from heaven Thy dwelling place, and that Thou may remember us and our children, in our poverty, in our need, in our sin, in our corruption, in our inability, in our rebellion, and that Thou may stop us on our way, that Thou may hear the cry of the needy, when they have lifted up their voice to Thee, maybe with so little expectation in this morning hour, for having come so many times to Thy house, maybe in a way of despair, and yet they cannot let go of Thee. And yet they cannot stay away from Thee. Oh, that Thou may hear the needy when they cry. And could it please Thee to answer from above in this morning with a token of Thy presence, nearness, and favor. And that Thou may supply for us when we go over this world in the hardness of our heart, with no desire, only form and custom of religion, so that it is requiring a great strength, so that it is requiring an alpha, a beginning, from heaven, from above, to stop us on our way, and to open our eyes, and to make our heart to be attentive to the things that are spoken in this morning hour. O Lord, that Thou may do it for the sake of Thy great name. And wilt Thou remember all Thy children, and those that are young, and those that are older, and when there is planted by Thee that true need, and when the way is still so hidden, that Thou would lead more and more unto Thyself. And when there is a people and that have sinned against Thee, so that Thou hidest Thy face, and Thou bringest them into a land of bondage, so that they have to hang their harps upon the willows, then Thou alone art able to bring them back. That is their experience. Oh, that Thou may remember each and every one of Thy own, increase their number over the length and breadth of the whole world, but also among us, we and our children. And wilt Thou be with all Thy sent servants over the length and breadth of the earth, called to go forth to bring Thy word. Lord, when Thou hast called, then it is not a people that have run of themselves. Then it is not men who have strength in themselves, who have ability in themselves, and who feel that they are able to do this. But then they are those whose souls stand in need of Thee every Sabbath again. And when this is the case, oh, that Thou may remember Thy own, whom Thou hast called and sent forth, wilt Thou grant unto them to feel, and that Thou art faithful who callest, and that Thou feedest Thy church and buildest Thy church through the weakest of the means. Remember the theological school and those that instruct and those that study there. For Thou knowest daily all their needs. And when their cry also comes by times to Thee, wilt Thou supply for them. Open Thou the windows of heaven, where Thy word goes forth, and that many may be brought in unto Thy kingdom, that Thy name may be glorified. And not only in the numbers, but also in the instruction. And that there may be more knowledge of Thee, and more knowledge of self. And that way wherein Thou showest mercy unto the chiefest of the sinners. And wilt Thou look on all that are sick, all that are afflicted. And Thou knowest their place, those that are or have been in hospitals and institutions of mercy, and that Thou may supply for them in the need of the bodies and which are weak. For we have but a mortal tabernacle that goes to the grave, dying creatures, but a soul that will never die, that will depart for the body from a little time, for a little time. And when that body is wakened up again in a little time, then to be restored unto that soul and to enter together into our long home. Lord, that Thou may supply for those who are old and that need Thee in the end of life, that Thou may remember them in all their afflictions. And could it please Thee to break those hearts that they feel to be so hard as that nether millstone, that they cannot break. Give them in this day to be able by Thy Spirit to shed one tear, which is in some of them a longing, and that their heart may be given once to melt under the operation of Thy Holy Spirit after they have forsaken Thee for their whole life. Lord, wilt Thou remember the young, and that Thou may give them in this day also the ability to understand, not only in an outward way, give them ears of their soul. And could it please Thee to take of Thy word, that it may enter into those places where there is no room by nature, to look upon those relatives of some in our midst that are sick, some of them mortally sick, some with serious diseases. Also that old mother and grandmother far away. Lord, that Thou may remember her, and that Thou may take it up for her, in the great need of her soul in these last days. that thou may prepare to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. And wilt thou teach us all to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wilt thou go before us in this morning? Help us to bring thy word. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may make a beginning, and that thou may make a beginning in a heart today. Oh, could it be a day wherein thy good pleasure from that never begun eternity and may take place. That moment of the time wherein the word must enter the heart. Oh, we beseech thee for wisdom. We beseech thee for clarity. We beseech thee for thy spirit, and that spirit alone who is able to bring life from the dead. Do it, Lord. Do it for thy name's sake. Oh, glorify thy own self in the conversion of sinners. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 170, 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee. O God, who hearest prayer. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 170, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse, and what follows this verse. John 4, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. So far, the words of our text. The painful uncovering of sin, first begun. Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Second, that painful uncovering of sin, shunned. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Third, the painful uncovering of sin, pressed. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidst truly. Finally, that painful uncovering of sin, fruitful. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Thus, the painful uncovering of sin, first begun, second shunned, third pressed, fourth fruitful. Go, call thy husband, and come hither. That is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto this Samaritan woman, there has come here a great change. There has come here a great change in the way that the Lord Jesus is speaking unto this woman. Because we have heard that he has been speaking about the gift of God. That he has been speaking about the water of life, that he has been speaking to her about that fountain of living waters, and that to a wicked, and that to a sinful woman. That is the way that we read it in the Word of God, and that it is to be proclaimed by the servants of the Lord. That is that free and sovereign grace unto publicans and unto sinners. Thus, how freely does that word go forth when the Lord, he is proclaiming in his word of rest, when he is proclaiming of peace, and when he is proclaiming forgiveness, when he is proclaiming cleansing, when he is proclaiming reconciliation, oh, then how earnestly that invitation that is going out unto that people that are sitting under the proclamation of that word, how earnestly that the Lord, he is saying, hearken, hearken unto me. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, how freely, without money and without price, is that gospel proclaimed unto the hearers. And what we have heard it also unto this woman. And when the Lord has spoken unto her of that gift of God, and when he has spoken unto her about that water of life, that well, that fountain of living waters, and that woman, oh, we have heard it. That woman, she has even in the end, when he has said, you ought to have asked it of me, that she says, I will unask it of you. And in her asking, then we can hear that mockery. Oh, she says, then give it to me, because then I will not have to come to this well. Then I will not have to be burdened in this life. And then I can always have enough in this world. And we, what does the Lord say? He says, a generation like little children. He says, they say, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. Why? Because there is no room. Because there is no place. Because we are full. Because we are full of the world. Because we are full of sin. Because there is no room in the inn. Because the whole need not a physician. Go, call thy husband, and come hither. What will the Lord do? The Lord will make room. The Lord will make place. He will make place for himself. How will he do it? Go, call thy husband. Say, what does that mean? How will that do it? What does that have to do with it? The Lord knows. The Lord knows how to do it, because the Lord knows this woman. And the Lord knows what is in the heart, and he knows what is in the life of this woman. What does the Lord do when there is no place for him? The Lord, he takes up his law. His law. And why? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. And without the knowledge of sin, there is no room for him. There is no place for him. It is impossible that a man would see beauty in him, would see preciousness in him, without the knowledge of sin. Impossible. Why? Why? Because of who he is. Because he is the Savior. Because he is the Savior from what? Because he is the Savior from hell. Because he is the Savior from the consequences of sin. That is what that woman wanted. But he says, I am not the Savior from the mere consequences of sin. No, I am the Savior from sin itself. Thus the Apostle, he says, Christ, he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Thus, that law, that is the beginning. That is the beginning to him, because that law that is the schoolmaster, that is now leading unto him. Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Say, how is that the law? You say, what commandment is that? That woman knew it was the law. Or ask her. Because with that command, go, call thy husband and come hither. With that command, the Lord, he puts his finger on the sore spot. The Lord, he puts his finger on the sin of her life. The Lord, he puts his finger on her bosom sin. He knows what it is. He knew what hers was. He knows what our bosom sin is. Do we know what it is? What is, congregation, our bosom sin? That is maybe not the same for everyone, but there is now that sin that is lying closest to the heart of every man. Go, call thy husband, and come hither. What a tenderness that the Lord Jesus deals with this woman. Not while the disciples are there. No, but when they are gone away to buy meat. Because love that covers a multitude of sins. And he deals with her one on one. It is between her soul and himself. Did the Lord ever deal so with you? To bring you all alone in your secret place and to deal with you in a personal way. Your own conscience. No one else in the whole world coming in between, only between God and your soul. Then he does not directly accuse her. No, he uses a great tenderness. David, he says, thy gentleness hath made me great. And the Lord Jesus, he gives, as it were, that woman the opportunity that she may confess her sin openly herself. Go call thy husband. So tender. Just like he went to Adam. Adam, where art thou? Oh, how many gentle reminders has the Lord not given us in our life? And by how many means, through his word, through his providences, how many times has the Lord not come unto us in a gentle way to say, where art thou? Where are you going? What are you doing with your life? How many gentle reminders that the Lord has said unto us, will you now bow before me? And will you now confess to me all your sin? What do we do with it? Because the uncovering of sin, that is, congregation, a very painful thing. So we see it with this woman. So we see in our second thought that she shuns this. Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Is that true? Yes, that was true. We know it was true. Because the Lord Jesus says it was true. He says, in that thou saidst truly. But that is a truth that woman, she would not have said to just anyone. That is something that she would not have said unto her fellow Samaritan. Unto one who knew her life. I have no husband. Because had she said this to others, then she would have been scoffed at. But she says it unto Christ. Why? Because she does not know who he is. Because she does not know him. Because she thinks that he is just a stranger. She thinks that he does not know her. And that she can before his face still uphold herself. I have no husband. What is it? It is a shifting answer. It is not just a direct lie, children. When Elisha said to Gehazi, whence camest thou? Where do you come from? And Gehazi, he said, thy servant went no whither. That means I didn't go anywhere. But that was a lie. And now this woman, she does not lie. She tells the truth. And yet she would have this stranger to believe that either she was never married or that she is a widow. She says, I have no husband. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he touches that sore spot in her life. And she has no desire to speak about this. She would cut it off. She would go on to a different subject. I have no husband. Let us speak about something else. She has no desire that her sin would be exposed. And she attempts to uphold herself in her integrity as if she is an innocent woman. While her conscience that is accusing her, while she is saying, I have no husband, or the uncovering of sin, that is a very painful procedure. When the heavenly physician, he begins to prod into that infected wound. Then how a man begins to shift about in order that he may evade that exposure of his sin. It is not easy to hide behind a lie. Is it, children? That is not easy, because our conscience that is speaking so loudly, and when we are trying to hide behind a lie, do you know what is much easier? It is much easier to hide behind some truth. So this woman does. She says, I have no husband. And that is true. But there is still something very, very wrong. Because in this confession, this woman, she is before the Lord Jesus, living a double life. There is her confession before him, and then there is the truth of her life. Then there is the truth of her heart. And then she tries to hide behind some truth. When did that begin? That began already with Adam. The woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. So true. So true, Adam. The serpent beguiled me. So true. So true. Eve. Joab sends a message to David. He says, Uriah, thy servant Uriah the Hittite, he is dead also. And then that message goes back. Be of good courage. Strengthen yourself against that city. Why? Because the sword that devoureth one as well as another. So true, David. That is so, so true. The sword that devours one as well as the other. We can read Judas. He says that ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. That is true, Judas. That is very, very true. Oh, how long our heart can attempt to hide behind the truth. What a deceitful, deceitful heart is living within us. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Solomon, he says, God hath made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. What is now that truth that we try to hide behind? Maybe with a heart full of covetousness, that we are going forth in this world. And we say, God's word that says, 6 days shalt thou labor. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So true. So true. And yet a cover. A cover for our carelessness. A cover for our lack of desire for spiritual things. Maybe we say, God has to be the first one. God is the Alpha. So true. So very, very true. But how do we know it? And is it for us nothing but a cover for our sloth and for that fact that we have no desire to turn away from our sin? Oh, how long can a man hide behind some truth, quelling his conscience, that speaking conscience? Why? Because there is some truth in it. I have no husband. Why is it that we attempt, that we resist the uncovering of our sin? In the first place, because we are ashamed. That is good, young people. Do you know what we are losing today? In our world, shame. Man is not even ashamed anymore to talk about and to live out that sin that is living in his heart. Oh, shame. That is one reason that we cover our sin. But do you know mostly why? It is because we do not want to forsake our sin. We are in league with sin. And thus, we would cut off even the conversing about that sin. I thought, congregation, in this morning, I would like to go with you. I would like to go with you for a moment into your inner chamber. Into your secret chamber. Into that place where we do make our confession before the Lord of all our sin, of all our iniquity. How is it there? What kind of shifting is taking place there even when we are ourselves before the face of the Lord? What do you say to him? You say, Lord, I am a great sinner. That is good. But do we now name them? Dare we name our transgressions one by one? before the Lord? Say the Lord, He knows them all. That is true. The Lord, He knows them all. But do we dare to name our own transgression one by one before the Lord and to tell the Lord what it is? Do we dare to ask the Lord to forgive us, and not only to forgive us, but to turn us from our bosom sin? What about that sin that actually we have no desire to speak to the Lord about? That lust, that desire, that duty that we do not want to fulfill, that in our conscience, that we know that is sinful before the Lord, but we would rather not speak of it. And then when we are on our knees before the Lord, and it comes into our mind, and we are pushing it away. Why? Or we do not want it in the foreground. We do not want it in the foreground. We do not want that the Lord, He is putting His finger on it. We do not want it brought up again. Because when it is brought up again, then tomorrow I do not go over this world with so much ease anymore. Oh, that double life. That double life on our knees before the Lord, as if we were able to hide anything from Him. Yes, we all want to be converted, but we do not want to leave behind our bosom sin. Painful uncovering of sin, shunned by this woman, by you, by me. What must the Lord do? The Lord must press it. The Lord must press it if it is going to be well with us in our life. Let us sing first. 384. 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, Thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to Thee. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of 384. our third thought, the painful uncovering of sin pressed. What do we read? We read, Jesus said unto her. Is that not a great wonder? That the Lord Jesus still gives her an answer. That the Lord Jesus keeps on with this woman. That the Lord Jesus does not now turn away from her. When everything from the moment that he has met her, that has been resistance, resistance, resistance. And the Lord, he keeps on with her. Oh, that is the greatest wonder. It is the greatest blessing when the Lord leaves us not alone. In all our resistance, in all our covering, 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 the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. What does the Lord say to her? Woman, I know the rest of the story. I know what else there is. It is true that you have no husband, but that does not mean that you are innocent in this matter. It does not mean that you are as a woman who was never married. It does not mean that you are as a woman that is a widow, because you have had five husbands and you have given all of them reason by your unfaithfulness to write you a bill of divorcement, and that man you live with today, you live with in adultery. What a shock for that woman. When her life gets laid out before her, that she had so wanted to cover up, and then her entire life, you say entire life, it was but one sin, that is true. Was but one sin. But do you know what that woman said later to the rest of the Samaritans? She says, come and see a man that told me all things, whatever I have done. When the Lord opened that one sin, then the whole life of that woman that was opened up. It was exposed. So that woman, she stood before the Lord in her sinful existence. There was nothing hid. It was as if there was a light that shone from heaven, and that has shone into the inmost recesses of her heart, so that everything comes out in the open, and that she stands as a naked sinner before the Lord. There is no place for that woman to hide anymore, because every hiding place that is now discovered and uncovered. Oh, what a great difference when the Lord is pressing it, when the Lord is pressing it to the end. between such a man and a man whom the Lord allows to go on. To go on and on, covering, covering, covering. The Lord stops a man in his mercy. And the Lord says, so far, and not one step further. Now there must be an acknowledgement. Oh, there is an acknowledgement in such a man, in such a woman. Boy, girl, that is an acknowledgement of who they are. And this is an acknowledgement of who the Lord is. That is the fruit of this uncovering. What do we read? We read, she says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who reveals secrets from the Lord. He hears them from the Lord. Samuel was a prophet. He was a seer, a seer, boys and girls. A person who hears is a hearer. A person who sees is a seer. Samuel was a seer. He saw. He saw from the Lord. He said to Saul, the asses are found. Elisha was a prophet. He said to Gehazi, went not my heart with thee? His eyes could not see him. But he was a prophet. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Why? Because he has revealed unto her that hidden secret of her own life. Oh, what do we know? What do we know of this work, this uncovering work of this great prophet that is the beginning of the experience of God's children? A powerful work. When the inmost recesses of the heart, they are exposed. And when the dirt that is coming out, and when a man becomes a sinner before God, did the Lord ever point you out so that you became a sinner before God? That all our hiding places were not sufficient for us anymore. What are those marks? Those marks of that true work. The soul that becomes upright. It becomes upright. This woman, she does not deny it anymore. No, we can read how that the Lord came to Cain. He said, where is Abel thy brother? What did he say? He said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, tell me, hast thou sold the land for so much? Yea, for so much. What does that woman do? When the Lord, he points her out, does she deny it? You understand it. She cannot deny it. She cannot deny it. Because her heart that must go along with what the Lord Jesus is saying. That she says it is the truth. Do you know what that woman does not do anymore? There is no more shifting. No more shifting. Instead, she says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." That is now the difference between a man being on the broad way and a man being on the narrow way. Because when we are on that broad way, and that way is so broad, when there is something before us, we can just go round. But what happens when we are on the narrow way? When we are on that narrow way, then that way is so narrow that we cannot go off to the right or to the left. And when there is before us a deep valley, then we have to go down. And when there is before us a high hill, then we have to go up and over. And then there is no shifting. When the Lord is coming with our sin, there's only one way. That is to say, it is true. It is true. When Nathan came to David, and he said to him, "Thou art the man." And all the shifting of David to the right hand, to the left hand, that all ceased. The mark, was that woman angry? Was she angry? Pharaoh was angry when the prophets came to some of those wicked princes of Judah and Israel. They became angry when John the Baptist he spoke to Herod about sin. He became angry. He shut him up in the prison. And this people, no, there is no anger. There is no anger because there is an acknowledgement of the truth. There are no more excuses. There is no mitigation. But she acknowledges him. "I perceive that thou art a prophet." What happened to all her mocking? It was all done. So a man ceases to mock. He ceases to mock with the callings. He ceases to mock with the invitations. He ceases to mock with the Lord. When the Lord is coming to put his finger on that sore spot, on that bosom sin. Does she know him aright? No. No, she says, "Thou art a prophet." Same as Moses, Elisha, Elijah. She saw in him no more. But there is a beginning. There is a beginning. There is a beginning of the knowledge of herself. there is a beginning of the knowledge of Himself. Do we also know a beginning? Or do we know of the first beginnings of that prophetical office of the Lord Jesus in our life? Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Thus the Lord says, your bosom sin, what is it? What is it? Are we still shifting? Do we still say, like this woman, I have no husband? Are you ever afraid of yourself? Are you ever afraid that the Lord will let you go? Your whole life shifting, shifting, and shifting. How is it when the Lord comes sometimes in such a gentle way and He is putting His finger upon our sore? I know, we have no power to come into guilt. Why not? We love our sin. It's written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond in our heart. But seek, oh, seek that our soul that may become upright. Honest before the Lord, there is power with Him to make us honest, that we would not cover anymore. Oh, say, Lord, work through. Oh, Lord, work through. Work through. Amen. Oh Lord, wilt thou work through in the heart of each and every one of us? Oh, press it, Lord, press it. Because else we will cover to the day of our death, when it will all be uncovered. Wilt thou put thy finger upon our sore? And wilt thou not permit us to go to the right or to the left? Bring us upon that narrow way and lead us unto thee, that we may be forgiven, washed, cleansed, reconciled. Forgive all our sins. Bring us safely home. And with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. 4:15, 4 and 5. Good and upright is Jehovah in his dealings evermore. Sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. 4 and 5 of Psalter 415.
creatures here below, praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.